Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back with our episode 11 predictions and power rankings for Survivor Season 43. We just recorded our November Q&A. So if you're a $5, $10, or $20 patron, go ahead and check that out. Make sure you do that because we talk a lot about this cast during it. So we didn't actually get questions. So I just started asking Alexa very personal questions about everybody in this cast. Maybe that'll get all of a sudden we're going to get like 15 new cast members from this season as patrons now. They're all going to be like, what did Alexa say about me? But anyway.
To a bar with.
Yeah, who does Alexa want to go to a bar with? But anyway, we're back. Final seven. Noelle had a great episode last week and then was promptly voted out, as it seems to be in this show nowadays, right? Like you become a threat and you get swiftly kicked in the rear.
You become one episode.
One episode. And so last week, so we don't have a guest this week. And of course, the 2 weeks that we had guests were like the two most obvious boots ever. So Romeo had Noelle at 8. We talked about it earlier with Zach. Zach had Ryan at 10 and James at 8. So, like, we've had two pretty predictable weeks in a row. Now, do you feel that that's actually hurting the season or no? And will you be disappointed if it continues to be predictable, or are you okay because of the cast?
I don't know what patron podcast we did this a while ago, but you made a really good point that some of the best moments and like best tribal moments in Survivor are when you know who's going home. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm so used to modern Survivor that I was like, Noelle's going to find a way, but she was going to go home this week. And even though like there was that whole checklist situation, it still worked that she was going to go home. So I don't mind predictable boots. And I'm really sick of like Cassidy was like, oh yeah, Ryan was going to blindside me. That's not a blindside. You two hated each other all season. Yeah. Like the word blindside is used so incorrectly now. And so I feel like I'm okay with predictable boots because they try so hard for everything to be unpredictable. And just the way the game is now, it kind of has to be that way. So I don't mind it. I think like if Jesse wins, then yeah, Jesse's probably the only one who is like glaringly obvious of winning. Mm-hmm. Then I'll be like, eh, but I think that any, like I said this last week, I think anyone in this final seven could have a pretty good argument to win. And that I really enjoy. We're not in a Tommy situation, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Where it's just getting too obvious, where Dean wasn't edited and all of a sudden he's going to be the biggest threat to Tommy. What
Once
are we
Dean
talking
loses,
about?
It's like, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's more about the journey though. Like I really do. I think the best seasons of Survivor, it doesn't necessarily matter if the winner is obvious or if the boots are obvious. It's just what is the journey on that season? You know, is it a fun season to watch? Is there a fun story? Are there fun moments? Are the characters good? That makes it better to me. Now, granted, you'd still like to see some surprising boots. But back in the early days of Survivor, we very rarely got blindsides. And I put Africa way up in my rankings. And Marquesas is phenomenal. And Australia is great. And, you know, you go through those first six seasons, I would tell you that probably four of those six seasons are in my top half. And two of them are probably in my top 10. So... Mm-hmm. And that's I cut it off before Pearl Islands. You put Pearl Islands in there, that's going to be up there too. So I just think it doesn't really matter, but I agree with you. Every time I hear that, I just think of in The Princess Bride when he keeps saying inconceivable and he just goes, that does not mean what you think it means. Yeah. Like, that is how I feel with this because it's really not like blindside is not what they think it means anymore. And I feel like it's become so overused that it's almost like with the NFL now. If you watch a football game and it ends 7-3, it's automatically a bad game. You just hated it. It's like it couldn't just be good defense. No, well, it didn't get me fantasy points. Like we've become numb to different styles, and we've almost become numb to, okay, Ryan and Cassidy don't like each other. One of them needs to vote the other out, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's
but why good. Is Cassidy calling it a blindside?
Because that's all the tension that I think we miss in Modern Survivor, and that's what was so good about Ellie and Gabler and James and Owen and Ryan and Cassidy. Maybe that's what I'm liking about this season. Like, there is a lot of tension, and there are people who kind of can't stand each other. And that doesn't make me hate any of these players. It makes me relate more to them. Like, Ellie and Gabler fighting is me and my brother for 20 years, you know? Like, that's, you know that feeling.
But imagine if every show you ever watched in the history of time, whether it's reality TV or not reality, like, or like scripted television, imagine if nobody argued with each other.
That sounds boring.
It's awful. And I feel like that's what we got a little bit. Like Lindsay and Jonathan were fun last year, right? Like they were just butting heads the whole time, but then it immediately became who's the bully, who's an idiot, who's stupid, whatever. And it's like, why though? It's just fun to watch them butt heads. And that's, I do feel like on this season, the Gabler one was a little different because people were still like a little more anti-Gabler, and I feel like that's changed a little bit. But especially with Owen and James, there wasn't really a who's right and who's wrong. It's like, who cares? Just watch these two people who are there for my entertainment argue.
Yeah. It's also just like, that's what's realistic. Like people get in fights with their friends and then are still friends with them. Like it's not every fight is an end-all relationship ender. And I also think except for James, is more for Ellie. Like obviously her boot was a result of that fight. And I think in her interviews, someone was like, how are you and Gabler? And she was like, we're good. Like, we like each other. Like, we just couldn't live in this very extreme situation together. Like, they're tight. So that's more realistic. Like, you're going to get in fights with people in your real life and you're going to never speak to them again because then you wouldn't have any friends.
Yeah, which is where I'm at right now because you cross me, F you. We're down to the final seven, and the reason we preface with all that is because for the unpredictability of some of the stuff early on, like we said, these last 2 weeks have been pretty predictable, and I feel like this week's a little bit less predictable, but I do feel like it's going either an Owen or a Cody or maybe a Sammy. I feel like it's probably going in that direction. Now, it doesn't feel like we have one person who's sticking out like a sore thumb like Noel was or like Ryan was, but it does feel like there's a clear hierarchy here. And I would like to see Jesse or Carla maybe go home this week because they are still the two favorites and they've been the two favorites the entire time. And I wouldn't mind seeing one of them get sniped here because I feel like that would make it a little bit more exciting. However, if Carla goes before Jesse, I am going to be a little bit of like, oh man, how does Jesse lose now?
I know, like, you need Carla to stay because she's the closest that can take him down.
Yeah.
But I think there's half as many idols as there are people. There's three idols left, seven people. I have to assume one is going to get played this week because now we're talking about them a little more. Apparently, it's common knowledge that Carla has this idol, which was like, really, guys? Like, we just found that out now. Mm-hmm. They're talking about a little bit more at Tribal Council. And I have to assume at this point, when you've been both of them, they've all had their idols for a while. Carla and Cody got there so early. It's got to be like burning a hole in your pocket a little bit. And I think now we're at the point in the game where you can make a big move and it's a lot harder to get rid of you because there isn't as much time. So I think people are going to start being a little showier and a little more fun at Tribal Council. I hope so.
Yeah, and we had talked about in our recaps, because Alexa has fully boarded the Gabler train, or the Gabler boat.
I'm driving the Gabler. I'm steering the Gabler galleon.
That's it, the Gabler galleon. Thank you. So Alexa is steering the Gabler galleon. But we were talking about it, and at the end, I jokingly said, I'm going to put Gabler at number one. And you were like, no, I'm going to put Gabler at number one. And then I look at it, and I say, okay, there's seven people left, and there's three people with idols. How the hell can I put somebody without an idol at number one? Like, That's just irresponsible if you actually want to win the power ranking game. Because
irresponsible.
Even if I think Gabler could still win this season and is probably going to make the final three, all we need is an idol train or whatever the hell happened back in season 34, and Gabler could go home easily. But I don't know. How much crap is the Ally Gabler about to stir up this week? He's getting the episode title, right? Like, we already know that, and the whole preview is based around him.
Oh, wait. How do we know that? I guess...
Hiding it. Doesn't he say in the preview, I'm hiding in plain sight? I think he literally says it.
Oh, he does. Yeah. Okay. That's great. Oh, well, I love that for everyone who hasn't picked. I'm so with you. We're jumping so ahead. I know there's only seven people. I have Gabler at number two. So I think Gabler is going to be in a perfectly good situation. Someone posted on Reddit, one of those so difficult to make like alignment charts. Mm. He is like in the middle. And Cody and Jesse have some form of working relationship with him. Him and Carla have found each other. And even though they didn't end up doing anything, this also speaks so much to Carla, because literally all people do is go to her and tell her things and try to get her to jump ship. So she gives off enough of a vibe that she's in the group, but would screw over any of them, which is such a good spot for her. Gabler and Owen needs Gabler. And Sammy's starting to lose a little bit of favor in people. So I think Gabler's in a really good spot. I don't think people are going to try to get rid of him. I only have Jesse at number one because he has two idols. Everyone really likes him, and he's Jesse. So that's I have nothing more to say about him being number one, because it feels so obvious.
Yeah, I have Jesse at number one too, but I love these points with Gabler, because it felt like at the beginning of the game that Gabler was going to be totally out of his element trying to play the social game with these younger people. And I feel like nothing could be further from the truth. I feel like mm-hmm. that's just what it was set up as. Now, I think it would be funny if the Survivor editors really pulled a fast one on us this season and have totally changed up the way they edit this show. And they went from, oh, we're going to tell you that the winner of this season is an absolute buffoon in the first three episodes. And then all of a sudden he's going to start playing this great game. What an arc that would be. I would love mm-hmm. that.
Aubrey David Wright situation.
Aubrey David Wright, but maybe actually pull off the win. And we kind of saw a little bit similar to Marianne last season, where all we heard about was how annoying Marianne was. And then Marianne goes on to win the season. In the pre-merge portion of that game, they all thought Marianne was annoying. Every confessional was about how annoying Marianne is. Very similar with what we've gotten with Gabler. And maybe that's hiding him a little bit, even though I think he's got less people he can beat than Marianne did when she actually got to final three. But I just feel like right now, Gabler's in a really good spot, but Jesse's still in the best spot, and they'd have to really blindside Jesse. I was talking to John about this this week, because he listened to our podcast, and he texted back, and he was like, a lot of people are saying that Carla and Gabler conversation feels like it was pointless. And he goes, I believe that for the first time in like 20 seasons, Survivor's actually foreshadowing. Because they never foreshadow. But now all of a sudden they're going to set something up at the end of one episode that could potentially blow up Cody and Jesse's game in the next episode. Maybe we'll see that, but you're going to have to be really sneaky to vote out Jesse when he has two idols in his possession, or at least two idols in his alliance, possibly win immunity, and there's final seven. He's only got to get through two more tribal councils.
Yeah. And the thing is, I'm looking at this group, and other than Cody, I do think that everyone could keep that secret. Like, Jesse and Cody are so tight, but it seems like the next closest person would be Carla, who was open enough to have a conversation about getting rid of him. Mm-hmm. So I think it's simple. It's not easy. Like, Owen would do it because Owen needs this. Sammy would do it because they think Sammy's been wanting to flip. Gabler and Carla already had the idea. That's it. You don't even have to include Cassidy, but you could. Mm-hmm. So that isn't hard. It's the convincing that is hard. But I do think that people have, like, watched so much Survivor, and the, like, people are getting good at lying. I remember early on, people would be like, oh yeah, I knew I was going home because no one would make eye contact with me, no one was talking to me. I feel like players are learning how to not do that, which is really impressive. So there's totally a chance. But I also think Jesse is really, really smart. And you see him checking with Cody, he's like, did anyone talk about me? Is my name coming up? I feel like he'd be able to sniff it out whether or not people are good at hiding it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so. I feel like Jesse just has too many fingers in the pie right now. Like, there's no way that they're going to get him. But number two, I have Carla. Again, idol. Like, that's where I'm focusing. And then I put Gabler at three. So we're going to end up speeding through these power rankings, but what the hell are you going to do? So I have Carla at two, and I have Gabler at three. And the reason I have Gabler, the only reason I have Gabler behind Carla and Jesse is because they have the idols. I think Gabler, if you're realistically looking at just positioning, is in the best position in the game. Because he can go with whoever he wants to go with right now. And I don't think anybody's going to turn around and say, oh, let's vote out Gabler. They all kind of need his number. If you vote out Gabler this week, now you have a potential Owen, Sammy, Cassidy, Carla alliance coming at you, Jesse and Cody. Do you really want that? Or if you're Carla and Cassidy, you have a potential Sammy, Owen, Cody, and Jesse alliance coming at you. Do you really want that? No. You want to get rid of one of Sammy or Owen, preferably Owen, I think, for both sides. I think he's kind of a common denominator. If you can't get rid of a big number or like somebody's number one, meaning Cassidy or Cody. But why would you ever vote out Gabler this week? And if Gabler had an idol, he'd be my number one. If there were only two idols in the game, he'd be my number one. The fact that there's three, there's just too much chaos that can happen. And all it might take is one vote for him to go home.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Who do you have at number three? I wonder if this is where we...
That's who I had, Gabler. So two was Carla, three was Gabler.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Oh, I'm going to stick with what I did. I actually have Cassidy at number three. I think I was a little nervous about her last week because she finally got Ryan out. And then it was like, what is she going to do? She won an immunity. She very well could do that again. And I think Carla is getting involved in like the opposition group. So that could then put something on Carla. Also, Carla has an allegedly very public idol. So people could now be saying like, okay, we gotta deal with that. We have to deal with Cody's idol. We have to deal with Carla's idol. Right now, Cassidy doesn't have like a thing that makes her need to go home. And I think it benefits her that pretty much every single time there's been an immunity challenge, it's been a different person winning. So there's no one to be like, oh yeah, this is the trend of who's getting immunity. I don't think Cassidy is intimidating at this vote. I think at final five, if she's still there, everyone's going to be like, oh my God, she figured her way in. But why get rid of Cassidy when you could get rid of Carla, who every single person is super tight with and has an idol, or Cody and Jesse, who are the closest duo?
Well, and that's where I wonder, would Cody and Jesse potentially try to pull a blindside on Cassidy, but not want to vote Carla out of the game? When you get down to these numbers, that's the type of stuff that I start to get worried about, because if they wanted to weaken Carla but not vote Carla out because they think they'd still be able to use her, you'd vote out Cassidy right now. And if Carla doesn't want to work with you later, you still believe that you have Gabler. I think they do believe that they have Gabler. I mean, he has done nothing to say that they shouldn't trust him. I really thought it was interesting too last week, going back to Gabler. He had that conversation with Cassidy and Carla, I think, at the well, where they kept asking him, who do you want to play with? What do you want to do? Yeah. And he was like, oh, I want to vote with you. And she's like, okay, but who do you want to vote for? Well, I want to vote with you. And he just kept kind of doing stuff like that. And I thought they were going to give him the Dodo music. And instead it was more of, oh, I just wish that we could like make sure we had this lined up. And I thought that was interesting because that could have really been an easy Dodo music hit the beat.
Yeah, because it was kind of already almost there, because Cassidy's confessional leading into that was like, I never know where Gabler is.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was weird because it like on paper and watching it, I was like, oh, this is a bad look for him. But it ended up like not really coming. Nothing came of that conversation. So I didn't really know what to do with it.
Yeah. And now let's talk about Cassidy. So you have her at three, I have her lower. But I mentioned this on the Patreon thing for $5, $10, and $20 patrons who haven't had enough time to listen. So you guys are going to hear about it there. And then that's going to be, you're like, whoa, what a cliffhanger. And then you're going to be like, but I already listened to that episode. But here's the thing that I was noticing and what I wanted to kind of bring up this week, right? So Carla came into this season as an underdog, right? You look at Carla and you say, okay, that's going to be an underdog on Survivor. How is somebody like Carla going to fit in and play this game? And so initially, Carla was getting a lot of love early on in the season. She was going to win. She's playing great. And that has continued throughout, but she was really being hyped. And Cassidy wasn't getting much content. And everybody's just kind of, we were already all voting her out first and all of that stuff and whatever. Now, we're at a point where my Twitter page is loaded with Cassidy is going to win the game. It's over. It's in the bag, whatever. And people have kind of fallen off Carla a little bit. And I find it interesting that we went from really, I think they were almost overhyping Carla and underhyping Cassidy to now I think they're overhyping Cassidy and underhyping Carla. Mm-hmm. And we're talking a little bit about the edits that they're getting and how Carla is getting what we're used to seeing from the dominant male performer in a game. And Cassidy is getting your typical underdog female edit. And it seems like people are responding more to the underdog female edit. Is that just because we love underdogs? Or do you think that actually has something to do with that's just like the type that we like, even though we complain about it every year that the women are always stuck in that role?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combo of both. I think I was saying this on our Patreon podcast. In every good movie, like everything ever, people are always going to root for the underdog. That's obviously why I'm a Patriots fan. You just are always going to pick the team that or the person who you think has a harder time. But so Cassidy, we've seen her have the struggle with Ryan. And with Carla, she's by her own accord made herself into this, like she had this idol that nobody's known about. She's in this insanely crazy situation where she's like the head of an alliance, but also people feel comfortable going to her when they want to try something different, which is so impressive. I feel like I really haven't seen that much before. Carla is playing a very dominant game. And so I think she's going to be popular just because we typically don't see that. And I love her. She's also really funny. She's like, I don't really have anyone to compare her to, if I'm going to be honest, but like, she's not like game body and she's not like I'm in charge, everyone's got to listen to me. She's really funny. Like when she made fun of Cody like way at the beginning of the season, that was great. And I think Cassidy, maybe we're just more used to seeing a woman who's quietly edited at the beginning claws her way up to the front, wins her battle against Ryan. I think maybe it's just what we know better, but I think Carla and Cassidy are both really unique and somehow they're also still together too. They're not like being pitted against each other. They're probably the closest duo behind only Cody and Jesse.
It really does feel like you should be calling them Cassidy, Jesse, or like it's not like it just Cassidy, Jesse, Cody is unfair.
It's like the Justine Janine situation. Yeah. Right here. Yes. It will be really cool if Carla and Cassidy get to the end and both pitch their games at Tribal Council together because they were pretty much in lockstep the whole season, but have very different ways to show for it.
Yeah, I don't think that Cassidy is going to get there. Maybe she will. I don't know. Cassidy's they're both not going to get
more
there.
Edited than she seems like she is.
Cassidy has the least amount of confessionals on this season, but she also has 24 confessionals. Natalie White won with what, 12?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it feels like she's being under edited, but if Cassidy stays on this trajectory and wins the game, she'll probably end up with more confessionals than Parvati Shallow. So just throwing that out there as a little like middle finger to everybody. But here's what I just think is so compelling about this, right? We're so used to seeing this Jesse type character where we get to this point where it feels obvious they're going to win and our eyes start getting stuck in the back of our head because we can't stop rolling our eyes. And we're so used to that being a male character that it instantly makes us root against that alpha male, big personality type character, right? Like that's just like innate in us because we've seen it so many times. But I really believe that if Jesse wasn't on this season, people would be even more off the Carla train than it feels like they've gotten off now because she's playing that same game. And I don't think it necessarily matters what gender it is because I think we just are so used to it being male and 99% of the time it's male. But I think it's when it's an obvious winner, when it's a really dominant, obvious performance during the season, because Kim Spradlin obviously gets so much love now, but during the season, you know, I don't really know what people are talking about with One World other than maybe like what else is on TV. But with Carla, I do feel like it becomes, as impressive as it is, boring TV to watch somebody dominate. It's not fun to watch someone dominate. But because there's still Jesse, Carla is still kind of lurking in the shadows. Cassidy all of a sudden is like the queen of the internet. And then Carla is kind of lurking in the shadows right behind her because Jesse is still the more obnoxious edit right now. Even though Carla's just like this close to being what Jesse's doing.
I know we could do like an Edge of Extinction kind, like Jesse is Rick Devons and everybody else is whoever. I think people are, I'm on the Carla train. I don't know if I can drive that while also steering the Gabler Galleon.
Yeah, you're on a train and a boat, but it's whatever.
Yeah, the train's on the boat. But yeah. I don't think anyone's off the Carla train. I think, like, I don't know. Maybe we have different Twitter feeds. Actually, no, we have the exact same Twitter feed.
But well, I actually have my own personal one still. You don't. That so that's actually what's probably hurting me.
Right I'm now. Really enjoying, like, if Carla wins, I will be over the moon.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you are right in the sense that the common denominator of unenjoyment is dominance, and the common denominator of enjoyment is an underdog.
Yeah.
So in general, I think people are always going to go for or against that type of player gameplay because it switches. Like cast, like I'm trying to think of who remaining. It's like Sammy's probably a good situation where he has like danced between underdog and in control. So I think that's what makes him really interesting.
Yeah. And Owen's been an underdog the whole time. And Noel was an underdog. Like that's why we pull for those types of people, right? It's like the same reason why everybody was pulling for David Wright over Adam. Adam never felt like he was the underdog, even though he really was a lot on that season. David Wright always felt like he was the underdog. Mm-hmm. Aubrey felt like an underdog that we just got the full story of, even though Michelle was an underdog the whole time. We just didn't get her story as much as we got Aubrey's. Mm-hmm. And I feel like right now, Cassidy has just taken off with this underdog story. And this is not a knock on Carla or Cassidy. I just think it's an interesting way to look at the game right now and look at the editing and kind of just look at what people have complained about in recent seasons and all of that. And just see how right now we have a really, really dominant female player. And then we have an underdog under the radar female player. And in like the last 2 weeks, people still like Carla. That's not the point. But in the last 2 weeks, I feel like the underdog female player has kind of overtaken the dominant female player as like this fan favorite. Maybe I shouldn't just follow Cass Stan 1, 2, 3 all the way through 1,475, but it just feels that way. And so often, like we've been waiting for a Carla type game. We haven't seen a Carla type game in so freaking long, probably since Sarah Lucina, right? I mean, when was the last time we saw a Carla type game? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I just find it very fascinating, very fun. I think it's fun to watch the feeds kind of fight between how much do I love the underdog player and how much do I love that Carla's just killing and how much do I hate Jesse because God forbid he gets these confessionals that the editors are just setting us up for us to hate him.
It is this whole discussion. It all the common denominator is people are sick of Jesse's edit.
Oh God. Like, and it's, I feel like with Nick Wilson, right? Like what, and Rick Devin said this after 38, I don't remember if he said it on our podcast or not, but he was like, what did you want me to do? Tell the editors, don't give me so much. Like there's nothing you can do.
I literally, if I was Jesse, I'd be like living my best life, you know? Like, and it's not, and that's why, like, I'm glad we're talking about this in the context of like fans and edits because all three of them are fantastic and I think all three of them could win. Yeah. But yeah, it's like I'm so curious like how Jesse felt scrolling through Twitter during last week's episode because he's like, guys, this is like the best day of my life. And everyone's just like crapping on the fact that what you see my face too much. Like
Exactly. Like, oh, I'm so happy with my kids and everything.
And everyone's like, screw that.
But then another fascinating part of this, right, is like, yeah, we have the Gabler Galleon and things like that. But people still don't really feel like they're pulling for Gabler to win. I think people like Gabler, but he's another underdog. So he's a meme. Exactly. That's a very good way to put it. Gabler is a meme. And so, but when you look at it, right, so now you have a dominant female and a dominant male in Jesse and Carla. You have an underdog male in Gabler and an underdog female in Cassidy. And it seems like out of all four of those very basic archetypes, and these are very basic, Cassidy seems like the one that people are relating to the most. It's just very interesting.
Maybe it's relating. Yeah, maybe that's the word.
Yeah.
But I don't know. This will definitely be interesting. Who's your number four?
Well, this is why I let John podcast with me. That's the only reason.
Someone's
literally. Literally. And Jay Burnham says the same thing. Wow. Okay, so we have the two listeners that we have live at noon on a Monday love Gabler.
Yeah. I know, anyway, it's like the middle of the day for people.
My number four, I'm going to go with Cody. No, I'm not. I'm going to go with Sammy. I think Cody's going to go home this week, even though it doesn't make sense. So I'm going to put, I'm going to put Sammy at four, and then I'll probably put Cody at five. But I can't wrap my head around Owen not going home this week. But then I sit here and I watch it, and I'm like, if you're going to take a shot, this is like your last chance to take out Cassidy or Cody before you're at final six And those pairs have no chance of splitting up now. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I think, I know, I don't know what to do with that one. I have Sammy much lower. I have Carla at number four, which is probably the lowest that I've ever had her. Mm-hmm. I think she is definitely, like, if she sniffs out that she's in trouble, I think she would play her idol. I don't, like, necessarily see that happening. But I just think there's fewer people around. Jesse and Cody are going to start getting some heat. So I think naturally it's going to go to her, because I feel like you're a different, it's different when you have an advantage. It doesn't really matter how close you are to people. People are going to want to get rid of you as it gets closer to the end game. Mm-hmm. I do not think this is how Carla goes home. That would feel so unfinished and so, like, wasteful, for lack of a better term, of like how good she's been. So I have Carla at number four. I have her kind of like right in the middle there. And Robert is here, everybody.
I know. And this brings up a good time to mention that, Robert, congratulations. You did not finish last place this season. Alexa has nobody left on her team already. She's already done. We're at final seven, 16 people picked. Sammy was not picked. Sammy is not on anybody's team. And Alexa's already out. She's done. She's gone. She doesn't even have her superstar was Lindsay. Lindsay's been gone. I don't even, who's Lindsay? So yeah. Poor Alexa.
I didn't even know that. That's so brutal.
Already out. And actually, though, Alexa, here, well, Robert, you're not out of the woods yet, because your team was so terrible that you're actually still losing to Alexa in terms of points, but you still have Cassidy.
That's bad.
All it's going to take is one immunity challenge win from either Cassidy or Carla, and he's going to be smoking. But that's crazy. That's really bad, man. Come on. Anyway.
All right.
All right, who's your number five? Because I just realized I messed up on the scoring.
My number five is Owen. I am going to take the bet that although he is pretty much very much on his own, because he voted incorrectly again, I think there are so few people left that you need a, no offense, Owen, like a desperate body who will vote with you to get rid of these kind of bigger players and the people who you need to blindside. I'm going to take that bet that people are going to need him for that. And the thing is, like, we are getting really good content from him. And I actually think he has a really good argument at the final, but people who are playing with him right now might not think that. So he could be in a good situation to be used. I know that sounds so bad.
No, he could be. I
don't know, though. I wouldn't be shocked if he went home at all.
I do feel like this is, like, the least predictable out of all the episodes, after everything I said at the beginning, that we've seen in recent weeks, because Owen should be the boot. But I don't feel like it's been set up as much for Owen to be the boot as it was, like, Noelle's done. She's drawn dead. There's nothing left. And Ryan, it's coming. The double boot made sense for Ryan. And James, it was kind of building that he was just getting too big for his britches. But with Owen, it doesn't feel like it's over yet. And it feels like we are seeing Carlin Gabler having that conversation. And then Gabler and Cody and Jesse, like, that being thrown in, that all of a sudden Gabler's with them and Cody's the one who feels good about it, right? Cody's the one giving the confessional about how good he feels with Gabler. Now Gabler's talking to Carla saying, we got to get rid of one of them. How easy would it be for Gabler to blindside Cody now, because Cody feels so good with him? And that's, we only have Cody at number five. And I probably should be more like what you're thinking and put Owen higher, but I'm keeping Owen at seven because it makes sense. And because the season has been a little predictable in the recent weeks. I'm putting Cassidy at six because if Cody and Jesse have the most power and they do have Gabler and they're able to pull in Owen, Cassidy's gone. Cassidy is toast, because Carla's going to have to save herself. She's not going to be able to worry about Cassidy. But it's a weird week for sure.
It's so weird. I'll finish mine up too. So I have Cody at six and I have Sammy at seven. I think Cody's in a lot of trouble because you probably don't have the space to split the votes, but I think people are going to figure out that Cody and Jesse have something, and Cody's either going to not have the idol or he'll get blindsided and they'll, like, try to get rid of him to weaken Jesse. With Sammy, he is, like, all of the sudden in this kind of bad position where nobody seems to really trust him. And yet he sort of wants to be the one making moves. So I think for all of the, we need to get rid of Cody and Jesse, or we need to flush Carla's idol, there is also very much an argument for Sammy, like Owen, doesn't really have much of an alliance anymore. But the difference is Sammy has been very commanding in a lot of votes, and he's been really good that he would need to be the one to go home.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And Sammy, so my top three with Gabler, Carla, and Jesse, I feel like none of them have any chance of going home. The other four, I feel like it could be, there's a reason to vote out every single one of them. Sammy could just be on his last legs, but I almost wonder, is Sammy starting to fall into a third place zero vote finalist who tried so hard to get his legs in the game and then overplayed and was never able to rebound from it? We see that all the time. And we saw Xander do that pretty much exact same thing two seasons ago. So yeah. I could see that being the case. I just feel like Sammy right now, based on last week, that was a weird bad edit for young Samuel over there. So I don't know if I like that.
For young Samuel.
I don't know. It just didn't look good.
It was really weird because he's been like so public. And then last week he was in the family visit and didn't, or whatever it was. And
yeah, he gets no confessionals.
It was really weird. Very, very
and
weird.
Guess what? If you're looking at it from a confessional standpoint, guess who's winning?
Yeah.
It's either Gabler or Jesse. Gabler's right behind him. I like how you're chewing the Jesse and I'm what? No, you guys
steer so the boat. There's so many trains and planes.
You can't even steer the boat normal. You got to get like the big thing with the handles coming out the top with the spokes or whatever.
Pirates of the Caribbean kind of situation.
Very much so. Yeah, I know.
That was fast, but that was good.
I mean, we're down to final seven. We don't have a guest, so that's really all there is to it. I had an entire thing about gender dynamics on Survivor. You're welcome. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Thanks, Alexa, Ben. Thanks for answering the question. But I don't know. I'm finding this season, I don't really normally follow along with Twitter and social media during the seasons. Every now and then I'll pop in, but then I don't really follow along as much. At least I wasn't during 41 and 42, maybe during 40 a little bit, because I had to make sure if anybody bullied Michelle that I could jump in there and tell them.
This group has really good content. Like,
they do.
Paula is unreal on Twitter.
They seem like they've kind of like pushed to the side the threats that probably came, you know, like they don't really seem too worried about it. Whereas 41 and 42, they weren't really as active on social media. 43 seems a lot more active, but maybe they're all just in good standing at this point and none of them really caused any drama. So that could be helping for sure. But all of that goes to, I have found this season to be very interesting from watching how people's opinions are changing and evolving throughout the season about players, about the game and all of that. And I feel like at the beginning, there was a lot of like that knee jerk reactions from the community, just in general. Like it seemed like, oh, we didn't like the season because of A, B, C, D, whatever talking point is just the easiest one to come up with. And it's fun to see everybody kind of having like all of a sudden the conversation is becoming a little bit more civilized. It's becoming a bit more normal and people are having multiple favorites and for multiple reasons. And there's so many different rooting interests. And I think that's becoming a lot more enjoyable. And it's been fun to watch that evolution as we're also watching that alongside just the players playing the game. So I have been enjoying this from both perspectives for the first time in a long time.
I know. And we've been liking the season from day one. So don't want to say we're trendsetters, but this has been an awesome cast. Everyone's been really great. And it's pretty crazy. We're almost at the end. We only have, what, three more episodes?
I know. We have three more episodes.
But
it's crazy.
Stay tuned. We'll be live Wednesday right after the episode, 9:05, 9:15 Eastern time. We just recorded our November Q&A, which had a little bit of a different format, but we think it was fun. We are about to record our retrospective for $10 patrons. So $20 patrons, as Phil mentioned, you're not going to get an after show this week, but it's a holiday. Give them a break. Become a patron. A lot of good stuff going on out there. And again, tune in Wednesday after the episode.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.